Okay. Fine. So it's a little bit late. So we're gonna start now. Tonight we're moving on to our next principle, which is the principle of Mekalkel. Mekalkel is gonna be a 2-week job, which is gonna start tonight, and Meretz Hashem will finish it next week, and then we'll be off for Thanksgiving and Hanukkah, and then we'll continue after that. So that's the agenda. So let's start from the beginning. Mishnah tells us on Kokei on Mabez that Kol HaMekalkelin Turin, which means that if you perform one of the 39 Malachas on Shabbos in a manner that's destructive, you are going to be Pater. And so this is now teaching us a new principle, our new second governing principle of the Hilchos Shabbos, Isra Malacha. The Malachas need to be done in what we call a manner of Tikkun, in a productive manner. If they're done in a destructive manner, in a manner of Kilkol, you're going to be Pater. And so just to give one example from the Gemara in Kofei Amabez tells us, so let's say a person on Shabbos is very angry, and he's so angry that he rips stuff up out of rage, says the Gemara that he's going to be Pater. Now, in this situation, when he rips something on Shabbos, he's technically doing the Malach of Korea. Korea is the Malach of tearing. So why is he Pater when he's ripping this stuff up? The answer is because of tonight's qualification, Mekalkel. He's doing Korea in a destructive manner, and therefore he's going to be Pater. So that's our new qualification to the Isra Malacha. And the Rishonim point out that this is going to be based on the principle of Malachas Machsheves, our general rule that the Malachas need to be done in a professional manner. And one of the details of professionalism means it needs to be productive. You have to do something productive. It can't be destructive. So that's the basic principle of Mekalkel. Now, the question we're going to work on tonight is to try to figure out what are the regulations for the type of productivity that you need in order to be chayiv. At what point is a malacha going to be deemed destructive where it's going to be pater? So that's the goal for tonight. And we're going to have two parts to tonight's shir. The first part, we're going to set up the basic shitas and the rishonim. And then we're going to go through some interesting tshuvas in the poskim and see how they applied it lamaisa. Fine. So let's begin part one, developing the basic shitas in the Gemara on Kofav Amud Aleph. You have to analyze the Gemara on Kofav Amud Aleph, and that's going to set us up for the discussion in the postgame. Now, just to make a major disclaimer, the Gemara Kofav Amud Aleph is one of the most difficult Gemaras in the entire Masechta, so it's impossible to do a comprehensive job, and it's one of the Gemaras that I'm going to quote it if you try to look it up, which is going to be difficult, so it's kind of just life, that's how it works. Fine, so we're going to zero in on what we need for tonight's sugya, and that'll be it. The Gemara Kofav Amud Aleph is discussing two of the malachos, which are the malachos of Hovel and Mavir. Hovel is where you cause a wound on Shabbos. If let's say you walk over to a person and you punch him and you draw blood, so that's the malacha of Hovel. Where exactly it fits into the 39 malachos, most Rishonim understand it fits under Entil's Neshama and Shochet. If you shecht an animal or you kill any living being, that's one of the malachos. And when you draw blood, you're taking away some of his life force, and therefore, that fits under the malacha of Netilas Neshama. So that's one malacha discussed by this Gemara. And the second malacha discussed by this Gemara is malacha of Mavir. Mavir is where you light a fire. And that's another one of our Lamitas malachas. So the Gemara is discussing Chovel and Mavir. And we're going to focus in on the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan makes the following statement. He says that these two malachos of Chovel and Mavir are only going to be chayiv if they're done for certain specific purposes. When it comes to chavala, it has to be done for the sake of acquiring the blood to give to feed to a dog. You have a dog that's hungry, and I guess it belongs to a Count Dracula here. So in order to feed it, you wound an animal to draw the blood to feed to the dog. That's the case where you're chayiv for melechas chovel. Chovel v'tzarech l'dam. You need the dam in order to feed to a dog. That's the case where you're chayiv for melechas chavala. And when it comes to the malacha of Mavir, says Rabbi Yochanan, when you chayiv for lighting a fire, when you want the ashes that are being produced by the fire, you light a fire in order to attain the ashes, that's where you chayiv for malachas Mavir. So that was a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that to be chayiv for chovel and Mavir needs to be chovel v'tzarech l'dam, Mavir v'tzarech l'efer, in order to be chayiv. Now, the question that Rishonim analyzed is, why did Rabbi Yochanan set down this stipulation? Why is Rabbi Yochanan requiring you to do chovel for the sake of the blood, Ma'aver for the sake of the Efer? Where is Rabbi Yochanan coming from in setting down this stipulation? That's the question that comes up. So we have in this machlokes between Rashi versus the Ramban, two basic approaches in the Rishonim. Starting with the Shita of Rashi. So Rashi says that Rabbi Yochanan is coming from tonight's qualification. We set down a new rule that to be chayav for lametes malachos, it needs to be done for a productive purpose. It can't be done in a destructive manner. Says Rashi that Rabbi Yochanan was bothered that these two malachos of Chovel and Mavir, by their very nature, are destructive. When you wound somebody, that's a destructive activity. When you light a fire, you burn something, you consume something, that's destructive. So Rabbi Yochanan was bothered, how can we turn these two malachos into some productive act? How can we find productivity in these malachos? So that's why Rabbi Yochanan set down these stipulations. When you cause a wound to use the blood, that's going to be malachas chovel. That'll be a productive form of this malacha. When you light a fire to use the ashes that are produced, that'll be a productive form of this malacha. So that is shita number one, shita of Rashi, that the reason Rabbi Yochanan set down these stipulations, he's trying to find productivity in these malachos. And so by having the person use the blood and the ashes, it's being done for a productive purpose. Yeah, dope. Okay, Dov is asking, why did Rabbi Yochanan say that he's using the blood to feed to a dog? Why couldn't he use the blood for some other productive purpose? So the truth of the matter is we're going to have to see in the ensuing weeks the significance of this statement, if there's bedafka or not bedafka. But for now, the questions, we'll take it. Okay, fine. Yeah, Penny. Pini's asking, does Rabbi Yochanan hold that every malacha needs productivity to be chayav? So, as we're presenting it right now, according to Rashi, it would seem to be that Rabbi Yochanan wants everything to be productive. So, even though it looks destructive, we need to find productivity. So, you're wounding to use the blood, you're burning a fire to use the ashes. A good question. Okay, moving over to Shita number two, the Shita of the Ramban. The Ramban is also just a difficult Ramban. I apologize for those who are doing the Maram Komos. It's just life. The Ramban, if you go through the Ramban, he argues on Rashi, and he says that Rabbi Yochanan's purpose was not for tonight's qualification, was not to find productivity in the Malacha, because it wouldn't satisfy tonight's qualification. When you cause a wound to use the blood, when you light a fire to use the ashes, that doesn't satisfy the need for productivity, says the Ramban. Why doesn't it satisfy tonight's qualification? So he says two reasons. If you go through carefully, he says two deficiencies in this type of a tikkun, which is going to prevent it from being satisfying this requirement for productivity. The first deficiency, the Ramban says, is that this is not a normal type of tikkun. This is not a normal benefit. If you want to feed your dog, you go to the pet store and you buy some dog food. You don't wound an animal to give it some blood. It's not a normal productivity. So when you cause the wound and you get blood, we don't say, oh, you just got some benefit of blood to feed to your dog. It's not a normal benefit. And since it's not a normal benefit, it doesn't register as a benefit al pidin. Even though this particular person might think that he wants it for this purpose, but objectively, it's not considered to be a benefit. And so al pidin, we treat this as a destructive activity. So that's the first deficiency the Ramban finds with this situation. It's not a normal benefit. Then the Ramban has a second deficiency in the situation. He's coming to explain a certain shita of Rabbi Shimon. And in explaining the shita of Rabbi Shimon, it comes out of the Ramban that there's a second, more sophisticated reason why this case is going to be lacking in productivity. Says the Ramban that in this situation, in both cases by Chavala and by Mavir, the productivity is external to the malacha itself. The intrinsic act of the malacha is destructive. It's just that after the malacha has run its course, as a byproduct, there's a certain afterthought of benefit that's coming out of the malacha, but the internal act of the malacha itself is destructive. So just to plug this in, by chavala, when you cause a wound and get the blood, the intrinsic act of causing the wound is destructive. There's nothing beneficial of causing the wound. After the malacha has been performed, as a byproduct, you now have blood, which might be productive, but that's coming after the malacha has run its course. It's a byproduct. When it comes to lighting a fire, once again, you're burning something, you're destroying something, that's intrinsically destructive. After the malacha has run its course, you now have attained to ashes. That benefit is a byproduct coming after the performance of the malacha. says the Ramban, the productivity has to be intrinsic to the malach itself. The inherent malacha has to be productive. It can't be that the inherent malacha is destructive, just as a byproduct, there's a benefit. So for two reasons, says the Ramban, Rabbi Yochanan's goal was not to find tikkun. That was not the purpose in these stipulations, because this isn't considered to be productive. First of all, objectively speaking, it's not a normal benefit. People don't view attaining blood as being a beneficial purpose to feed to your dogs. It's not a normal benefit. And the second point of the Ramban is that the benefit is extrinsic. We need the benefit to be internal to the act itself. The act itself needs to be beneficial. It can't be that the act itself is destructive, but there's a byproduct of benefit. So therefore, says the Ramban, Rabbi Yochanan is coming from a different place. Rabbi Yochanan's goal is to explain the issue of Tzrich L'gufo. As we learned over the last few weeks, in the last, our first principle to the Isra Malach was it needs to be done for a certain specific purpose. And Rabbi Yochanan was concerned how to make sure that these malachas are done for the right purpose. It needs to be done for a Tzrich L'gufo purpose. That's why he said you need to cause a wound to use the blood, to light a fire to use the ashes. That'll be a purpose that's considered to be Tzrich L'gufo. But his purpose, but Rabbi Yochanan's goal was not to explain the issue of tikkun. That's a separate issue that has to be resolved. But this doesn't solve the issue of tikkun because this is considered to be destructive. So with that, we've concluded the first part of today's shiur. We're just lining up the basic facts before we get to the poskim. We're trying to figure out what are the regulations for tikkun. When we say you need to do a malacha for productive purposes, how does tikkun need to play out? Where in the malacha does it need to play out in order to be chayiv? So we went over to Gemara Kavav to see Rabbi Yochanan and Shita here that you need to cause a wound to use the blood, light a fire for the ashes, and we're trying to figure out where's Rabbi Yochanan coming from. Machlokas Rashi versus the Ramban, and it's boiling down to a machlokas as to what are the regulations for tikkun. Rashi feels that this is a perfectly upstanding tikkun, that the productivity of using the blood and the ashes is perfectly fine. We don't care about the Ramban's issues. Whereas the Ramban feels that it's not perfectly fine. This is not a good tikkun for two reasons. It's not normal and it's external. And so therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is coming from a separate place. Yeah, so. Okay, so Dov is asking why according to Rashi, let's say, Rashi is trying explaining that Rabbi Yochanan is trying to find productivity. So why did Rabbi Yochanan go to lighting a fire to use the ashes? Why not light a fire for the sake of the light? That's, you know, or the warmth. So that's a good question. The Ramban discusses this at length. It's just the complications of the sugya. Fine. So let's move over now to part two. We're going to discuss two halachic applications of this machlokas. Yeah.
I missed the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that's chayev.
Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you're chayev.
And why is Ramban saying, how does that make sense?
Okay, so Eitan just caught me in a cheshbon. I tried to pull a fast one. Eitan caught me. I'm happy that you caught me. Okay, so just to clarify Eitan's question, what Eitan's asking is the Ramban just got through saying that it's not called a tikkun when you light a fire for the ashes and you cause a wound for the blood. And so that was not Rabbi Yochanan's goal. But Eitan's now asking, Gevaldik, so then why are you chayev? Where is the tikkun? I thought you need to have tikkun in every malacha. So the answer to this question is going to be that tikkun, Rabbi Yochanan feels, according to Ramban, that these two malachas don't need tikkun, that the malachas of Chovah and Mavir are chayev irrespective of tikkun for special reasons. So that's going to be next week's discussion of Mirtz Hashem. That's what we need to talk. But we're going to get into some interesting dental shilas next week. But that'll be next week's discussion. Yeah.
So potentially, Korea doesn't need that one aspect of
No, Korea is not an exception, actually. Penny's asking, Korea also an exception, according to Ramban. Okay, so let's wait for next week on this. Fine. So the first issue that comes up in the poskim, which we're going to discuss, is the issue of opening letters on Shabbos. Oh, wow. Okay. Who wrote it? Okay, fine. Okay, Shmuck. Fine. So we actually once discussed this in the Chabura, but there's a brand new angle that we never addressed, and that's what we're going to be doing tonight. What is the halachic perspective of opening letters on Shabbos? So it begins with the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash in Yoredeya was asked the following shaila. There's a certain community that had no Jewish ovens, and the only way they could heat up food on Shabbos was if they used a communal oven belonging to a goy. So the question that arose, if we would be asking the Shiloh, we would be worrying about like using a treif oven, but ovens are not as bad as they seem. So that was not the issue in the Shiloh. The issue in the Shiloh was that if you use the communal oven belonging to a goy and you leave it there overnight, maybe we should be concerned that the goy is going to tamper with the food. It's basar shenistalek mina'ayin. It's meat that's not under the watch of a Jew. It's under the under the control of a goy, and we should be worried that the goy is going to tamper with the food. And that was the issue that arose. So the Pri Chodesh is analyzing the Shaila, and in analyzing the Shaila, he brings up the following possible solution. He wants to know, would the following solution be viable? Let the Jews put the food in the oven before Shabbos, and then they'll wrap the oven with some seal, like a piece of paper around the oven. And come Shabbos, when they want their food, they'll come to the oven. And if the seal is still intact, they know no one tampered with the food, they'll rip it open, get the food, and maybe that'll be a good solution to avoid the concern of tampering. That's the solution the Pri Chodesh considers. Says the Pri Chodesh, this is not a good solution. That would not solve the issue, because in this situation, while it might help you know that the goy didn't tamper with the food, but when you try to get your food on Shabbos and rip open that piece of paper, that's going to violate the malacha of Koreya. You're doing an act of ripping. That fits under the malacha of Koreya. And says the Pri Chodesh, this is going to be Koreya midaraisa, that when you rip open this piece of paper around the oven, you're doing a productive act of ripping. Because even though you're destroying the piece of paper, but you're creating an access way into the oven. You're making an entrance, an access into the oven to get your food. And so therefore, this is a productive act of ripping, which is aser midaraisa. And since it's aser midaraisa, says the Pri Chodesh, you can't even ask a goy to do it. When do we permit asking a goy to do something on Shabbos? When you're asking him to do something aser midarabanan. When you ask a goy to do something derabanan, so under pressing circumstances, we can permit that. But when it comes to asking a goy to do a malacha midaraisa, we almost never permit that, even if it's a very pressing circumstance. Amir la'akum is only mutter for a shvus, for an isser derabanan. So you can't even ask a goy to rip open this piece of paper, as important as the need may be. And so this is not a solution. Then the Pri Chodesh makes the following point. He says, maybe you'll ask a question on my psak from a widespread practice amongst the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. It's interesting, he uses the term Ashkenazim and Sfardim, which is to open letters on Shabbos. He says that there was a widespread practice to open letters on Shabbos between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. And maybe that contradicts my psak. I'm telling you that ripping open the paper to get to the oven is aser midaraisa. And opening up a letter is basically the same thing. You're ripping open a piece of paper to access the content inside of the letter. And so it's basically the same thing. So how am I saying that's aser midaraisa to open the oven when there's this practice amongst the Jews to rip open a letter? It says the Pri Chodesh, there's no question on me from the minhag, because the minhag is wrong. They're all acting inappropriately. It's aser midaraisa, and it's aser to open a letter on Shabbos. So you can't rip open the oven. You can't open a letter. It's all aser midaraisa. And so you can't even ask a goy to do it. You can't ask a goy to open up a letter, because ripping open a letter is aser midaraisa. So that is the Pri Chodesh's analysis of his original shaila, was ripping open the seal around the oven, and he's applying it to opening a letter. Opening a letter is aser midaraisa. You can't even ask a goy to open up a letter on Shabbos. Fine. Comes along the Chacham Tzvi, and the Chacham Tzvi writes in a tshuva that there's this new sefer that came out called Pri Chodesh. So you can date the Chacham Tzvi based on this tshuva here. And there's a new tshuva that came out from the Pri Chodesh. And he has this chumrah about ripping open this piece of paper around the oven. And it's wrong. The Pri Chodesh's chumrah is incorrect. He's being machmir in a situation where you don't need to be machmir. There's no problem ripping open the paper. He doesn't specify how far he's willing to be machmir this, but we'll be conservative. Oh, that's an interesting point. So he's assuming that the food, to get to the food would be the tzorach here. But that's an interesting point. But so the Chacham Tzvi, he doesn't specify how far he's willing to go, but we'll assume that he means to say it's aser midarabanan, and you can ask a goy to do it. That in this situation, the Pri Chodesh went too far. It's not aser midaraisa, it's aser midarabanan at most. And so you could ask a goy to open it up. And then the Chacham Tzvi writes at the end of the tshuva that when the Pri Chodesh came to my town, I debated him face to face on this issue, and he didn't respond. He had no response to my arguments, and so he is makel on the shayla. So we now have a machlokas aposkim as to if and when you could open up a letter on Shabbos. B'chadish says that opening up a letter is aser midaraisa, you can't even ask a goy to do it. Chacham Tzvi is saying that at best it's an issur to Rabbanan, and you could certainly ask a goy to do it. The B'chadish was inappropriately machmir. And the question becomes, what's the hesber in this machlokas? And specifically, the real question is, what's the pshat in the Chacham Tzvi? We have to first understand, what was the shita of the Chacham Tzvi? The B'chadish is very clear what his shita is. You're doing the malach of Kareya, you're doing an act of ripping, and it's a productive act of ripping. You're creating an access way into the letter, just like when you rip open the paper around the oven, you're accessing the food. When you rip open a letter, you're accessing the content. It's a productive act of ripping, and therefore it's aser midaraisa. And so the question is, what is the pshat behind the Chacham Tzvi? Why did he feel that there's no issur d'oraisa in the situation? Why can't you ask a goy to do it? And what's interesting is that the Rav Yaakov of Emden, who is the son of the Chacham Tzvi, so he writes in a tshuva that there's a hetzer to open up a letter on Shabbos, at least to ask a goy to open up a letter on Shabbos. And he remembers that his father, when he was young, he's the son of the Chacham Tzvi, he writes, when I was young, I remember my father had this hetzer to open up a letter. Well, I don't know the reason. I don't remember the reason. I was too young to know the reason. So the question becomes, so what is the reason for the Chacham Tzvi? I guess it's a little bit chutzpahdik to try to answer it if his son, Yaakov Emden, didn't know why. But at least what would be the analysis? What would be a possible reason why it would be mutter to rip open the letter? Why is it not an issue of Malachas Korei? So the Nishmas Adam comes along with a point in attacking the Prichadish, which could be used to explain the Shita of the Chacham Tzvi. The Nishmas Adam is authored by the Chaye Adam. And at the bottom of the page of the Chaye Adam, he has this parish called Nishmas Adam. And he gives an attack on the Prichadish, which could be used to explain this machlokes. Says the Nishmas Adam that I'm going to argue in the Prichadish that there's no issur d'oraisa in the case with the oven, in the case with the letter, because although you're doing an act of ripping, but it is going to be destructive, that this act of ripping is destructive. You're destroying this piece of paper around the oven. You're destroying the letter. It's a destructive act of ripping. It's makalkil. And so it's only an issur d'rabbanan, which you can ask a goy to do. That is the Nishmas Adam's assessment of the situation, that there's only an issur d'rabbanan because it is mekalkel. So we now have an explanation for the Chacham Tzvi, that the Chacham Tzvi apparently holds that this is considered to be mekalkel, or at least the Nishmas Adam is explaining in one school of thought here to explain the Chacham Tzvi, that is an issur d'rabbanan because of mekalkel. So what's the hezber in this machlokas? What's the Prichadish hold? What's the Chacham Tzvi hold? So there's a Sefer Tel Oros, called Tel Oros, pretty early Achron also, who connects us to our sugya. We had a machlokas Rashi and the Ramban in part one of today's shir. So let's go back through the shitas of Rashi and the Ramban and show how they're going to play out differently in this shaila of opening letters on Shabbos and ripping open the paper around the oven on Shabbos. So let's start with the shita of Rashi. Rashi's shita was that when you cause a wound to get the blood, or if you light a fire to get the ashes, that is going to be a perfectly fine upstanding malacha. The productivity is perfectly fine, even though it's not so normal. As the Ramban had said, it's not a normal type of benefit. Even though it's extrinsic, the benefit's not internal to the malacha itself. The benefit is an extrinsic byproduct. Rashi doesn't care about all these added points. You might say you did something for productive purposes, you're going to be chayav. So working with the shita of Rashi, it should follow that in our situation, when you rip open the letter, or the paper around the oven. So while it is true that the etzem act of destroying the piece of paper is technically destructive, you're ripping up this piece of paper, but there's a byproduct of productivity. After you've ripped up the piece of paper, you've now achieved an access way into the oven. You now have access to the letter. And so that productivity should deem this a productive malacha. Rashi doesn't care about all the details of the Ramban. Lamaisa, there's productivity in the situation. And so therefore this should be chayav. So that would be a simple explanation for the shita of the Prichadish. Prichadish holds that it's aser midaraisa to open an envelope, to open a letter on Shabbos. Why is this considered to be a tikkun? Isn't it destructive? The answer is, according to Rashi, we don't care that the etzem act is destructive. As long as there's some productivity going on in the event, that's perfectly fine. There's productivity in this situation. Moving over to the shita of the Ramban. So the Ramban had two issues with the case of Rabbi Yochanan, why it's not going to be considered to be productive. His first point was that's not a normal type of benefit. And his second point was that it's extrinsic. The intrinsic act is not beneficial, it's destructive, and the productivity is a byproduct. So let's plug in the two points of the Ramban into this shayla of opening up letters on Shabbos. So in terms of the first point of the Ramban, that it's not a normal benefit to wound your animal to get some blood, to use the blood, or to light a fire to get the ashes. So in terms of the first argument of the Ramban, that would not apply to this situation. That deficiency probably would not apply. When you rip open a letter, probably is a very normal benefit to have access to the content inside the letter. I think everyone would agree that it's a very productive thing to open up your letter in order to be able to read what's inside of the letter. So the first argument of the Ramban would not apply in this situation. It should still be a productive activity. When you rip open the letter, it would have tikkun in it. But the second point of the Ramban is going to apply to our situation. The Tel Aris emphasizes that the Ramban's second point is going to apply to the case of the letters. The second point was that the productivity needs to be inherent to the Malach itself. It can't be that you do something intrinsically destructive, and as a byproduct afterwards, there's productivity. That doesn't make the cut according to the Ramban. And so says the Tel Aris, that's going to apply in these two cases with the letter and with the paper around the oven. Let's say with the oven situation, when you rip open the paper around the oven, so it's very nice that you created an access way, but the etzem act you're doing is totally destructive. You're absolutely tearing to shreds this piece of paper. There's nothing productive in the act itself. After you've destroyed this piece of paper, so as a byproduct, you now have access to the oven. There's something productive coming out as an afterthought, but the etzem act itself is destructive. And so therefore, it should be considered to be mikalkel. And so the Tel Aris emphasizes that the Ramban is against the Brichadish, or the Ramban would support the Chacham Tzvi, that if we need the Tikkun to be intrinsic to the Malach itself, if it can't be an external byproduct, then you would not have that in the case with the letter or in the case with the oven, because the Tikkun is occurring after the Malach has run its course. So this is all application number one of our discussion today with Rashi and the Ramban. We're setting up the rules for where the tikkun needs to exist in order to be chayav on Shabbos. Our first application is these two shailas, really, of the Prichadish is having two shailas. One is ripping open the paper around the oven to get the food in the oven, or ripping open an envelope or a letter on Shabbos to get the content inside the letter. We're pointing out that there's a machlokas opposed to Prichadish versus the Chacham Tzvi, a pretty heated debate. And the Tel Aris points out that it ultimately should connect back to our machlokas, Rashi versus the Ramban. Okay, fine. Now we'll come to application number two. There's another Shailas and Shuvah Sefer called the Zer Emes, who lived some time ago, and he discusses the following Shailah that he once encountered. He writes that one time on Shabbos Mincha time, the people came to the shul for davening, and the Aron Kodesh was locked. It was locked and they couldn't get it open. So Zer Emes, I guess, was the Mora D'Asra. He was passing the Shaila. And he says that what he did was, the first thing he did was to call a goy, a professional goy, to come down to see if they could pick the lock. They wanted to see if there's a way of getting the Aron Kodesh open without breaking anything. So they call down a goy. The professional comes down and there's no way of picking this lock. It's got to be destroyed. It has to be broken, the lock or the door. Something has to be broken to get the Aron Kodesh open. The question is there a heter to break open the lock or the door of the Aron Kodesh in order to get the Sefer Torah out to daven? That was the Shaila of the Zer Emes. Says the Zer Emes that he paskened that this is prohibited. He paskened that it was also to break open the lock to the Aron Kodesh, because this involves melachas soser. Soser is the melacha of destroying. If you destroy an object, some type of structure on Shabbos, that is aser under soser. Says the Zer Emes that breaking open the lock is melacha soser, it is prohibited. And he feels that this is going to be aser midaraisa, because when you break open this lock, you're creating an access way into the Aron Kodesh to get the Sefer Torah. So this is a productive act of melacha soser. And so since this is aser midaraisa, not only can't a Jew do it, you can't even ask a goy to do it. You can't ask a goy to do a melacha deraisa, even for a pressing need. And so it is aser to break open the Aron Kodesh to get the Sefer Torah. And says Zer Emes, I'll bring you a precedent to my psak that this is going to be aser b'deraisa from the Prichadash. We saw in application one, the Prichadash had prohibited opening letters, opening the paper around the oven. Says the Zer Emes, the same thing applies in this situation. When you want to break open the Aron Kodesh to get the Sefer Torah. You're creating an access way, just like the Pri Chodesh had said, and so it's Asur Midaraisa, you cannot ask a goy to do it. So therefore, he says that he paskened that 10 people should go to an accompanying based Knesset to borrow Sefer Torah, bring back the Sefer Torah to the shul to borrow for Mincha. So that was the psak of the Zera Emes, what to do in this situation. Comes along Rav Avadia in the Yabia Omer, and Rav Avadia quotes the tshuva of the Zera Emes, and he says that the Achronim did not accept this tshuva of the Zera Emes. I don't want to paskin for the Ashkis here, but the but for the Sephardim, but he's come to argue with Ben Sion, so I'm not going to tell you guys how to paskin this either. But Ben Sion Abishal, you have to be holding on the Sephardim this up here. He's coming to discuss the issue of envelopes, and Rav Avadia says that the Zera Emes psak was not accepted, just like the Pri Chodesh wasn't accepted. It's true the Zera Emes connected his psak to the Pri Chodesh. He built his chumrah off the Pri Chodesh. Says Rav Avadia, we or the Sephardim don't accept the psak of the Pri Chodesh, or the Zera Emes is all not accepted. It all goes hand in hand. So this is all a second application of our ongoing shalos in the Rashi versus the Ramban. I'm not going to plug it in because we did it by Pri Chodesh already. But once again, another shaila of creating an access where the act itself is intrinsically destructive. You're breaking open Aron Kodesh, but as a byproduct, there's something productive, namely you have access to the Sefer Torah. Is that going to be Aser Midaraisa or Aser Midarabanan? The Zera Emes is saying it's Aser Midaraisa, it's productive. And so you can't even ask a goy to do it. Rav Avadia is saying that the Sfarim don't accept that psak. It would be Aser Midarabanan, and therefore you could ask a goy to do it. Yeah. So Pini's asking Ein Stira Bekalim. So a simple answer, which Zera Emes brings up, he brings up this very issue when he destroyed Kli Izer Melecha Sozer, but he says it's attached to the Aron Kodesh, which is attached to the ground. So that's called Karka. Fine. So that would be a simple answer to that question. Good question. Fine. So I just want to quickly summarize and then point out one more last interesting psak halacha, and then we'll end a little bit early. So just to sum up, we're kicking off Melechas Kilkel, the principle of Mekalkel. We have two basic parts of tonight's shir. We had the part one, we developed Machlokes Rashi versus the Ramban on where does the tikkun need to take place. Rashi Shita is we don't care where the tikkun takes place. As long as it's something productive, even if it's a byproduct, it's going to be Aser Midaraisa, so you'll have the regulations of tikkun. Whereas the Ramban is holding that there are two rules, or two regulations for tikkun. Rule number one, it has to be normal, has to be something that's a normal hana. And rule number two is that it has to be intrinsic to the malacha itself. It can't be an external byproduct. So those were the original sources on the issue of Mekakel. And then in part two, went through the two tshuvas, at the Pri Chodesh's two shilas of ripping open the paper on the oven and opening letters in Shabbos. And we had parts in our second shilah was the Zera Emes, the same shilah, breaking open the Aron Kodesh in order to get to the Sefer Torah. So now just point out one more, two last nekudas lahalacha. One point is another nekuda from Rav Avadia. Rav Avadia, this is not directly connected, but you'll see how it's going to be connected. Rav Avadia was once asked the following shiloh. This is in Yabi Omer, another tshuva in Yabi Omer. Someone asked him the question, if it's appropriate on Simchas Torah to take the Sefer Torah out of the shul into the street to dance with the Sefer Torah in the street. That was the question that was asked. And the amkus of the kasha was that there's a severe issue of kavod Torah to carry around the Sefer Torah. You're not supposed to bring the Sefer Torah from place to place. It's a very severe issue. To be metaltel Sefer Torah mimakom l'makom. So the question was, is it appropriate to take the Sefer Torah out into the street? You're transporting a Sefer Torah. We really don't do that under, you know, regular situations. So Rav Avadia, in his tshuva, in Cheshbin the Shaila, actually brings up our tshuva from the Zera Emes, because the Zera Emes, so the Zera Emes had paskined that you can't break open the Aron Kodesh, which Rav Avadia actually didn't accept that, but yeah, I'm sorry. The Zera Emes had paskined that when the Aron Kodesh is locked on Shabbos, you can't break open the Aron Kodesh, that it's Aser Midaraisa, you can't even ask a goy to do it. Now, Rav Avadia didn't accept that point, but Zera Emes makes a second point, which Rav Avadia does accept. So Zera Emes had said that now that I can't open the Aron Kodesh, what should we do? So he says that I don't want to make my minion batel for mincha time, to have the whole minion be batel. It's not a good thing. And so he sent 10 people to the adjoining shul, to the adjacent shul, in order to borrow a Sefer Torah. So we see, says Rav Avadia, that under certain circumstances, when there's an appropriate need, it's okay to move a Sefer Torah from place to place, like in this situation where they moved the Sefer Torah from one shul to another shul. Okay. So Mr. Rasindik is asking the details of the tshuva. So that's a very good question. 100%. I just wanted to point out. Yeah. 100%. So I'm just pointing out that Rav Avadya Kedarka B'Kodesh is holding in everything, and he brings up this Zera Emes to help build his case in the Simchas Torah Shaila. And so he's Makel on the Shaila. He says that it's mutter to take the Sefer Torah out into the street to dance to the Sefer Torah. This is another appropriate Sorech to transport the Sefer Torah. It's Kavod Torah, and so therefore it is perfectly permissible. But he says there are two caveats. He says the first caveat is that you can't throw the Sefer Torah in the air. He says that's absolutely not okay. Like when you're dancing with it, like I don't know what was going on, but he emphasizes that it's not appropriate to throw them in the air. I don't know if he means going like that. I don't know. And he's asking if this is a Sfari or Ashkenazi Sefer Torah. I hear. Okay, we'll Google the Sfardi Hagbah to figure, you know. Okay, good. No, so he emphasizes that it's only mutter if there's no issues of carrying hutzah, melechas hutzah. We have to be in an area where you're allowed to carry. Don't do the Sefer Torah in the air. And he says, make sure not to give it to a katan. Don't let children hold the Sefer Torah. And after you fulfill all these caveats, then I'm willing to be makel on the shaila. So that's just an interesting outflow of tonight's discussion. And the one last nekuda for the Ashkenazim, in terms of the Mishnah Berurah's psak on opening envelopes on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah paskins that under regular circumstances, it's also to open an envelope on Shabbos or a letter on Shabbos. Even al yedei akum, can't even ask a goy to open a letter or an envelope on Shabbos. Right. So because he's concerned for the possibility it's asr midaraisa. But he says 2 points. He says that under pressing circumstances, there's room to be makel with a goy through remiza, that you can hint to a goy that I can't open, I need this thing open, I need to read this, but I can't open it. So he says under pressing circumstances, you can hint to a goy. He's going to be makel like the Chacham Tzvi under pressing circumstances. And he says that he's willing to be extra makel if we're dealing with an envelope as opposed to an air letter. Meaning if you have a letter that's, imagine you have a piece of paper that's folded shut and sealed. That's like a letter where you're ripping open the seal versus inside an envelope where you're tearing open the envelope to get to the inside. So the Mishnah Berurah feels that the envelopes are more makel than the letters, which for our purposes, I think everything is an envelope nowadays. I think the Pony Express stopped a long time ago. Okay, fine. Whatever the case may be. So nowadays, I think we're typically dealing with envelopes, so it's a little bit more makel. But he still says that it's really only under pressing circumstances. So that's the psak of the Mishnah Berurah and the Berlacha, that it's mutter under pressing circumstances to ask a goy, to hint to a goy, to open it up. Thank you very much. Mishnah next week, we go through some dental shilas in halach. Some interesting medical shilas. Okay. Shkaya. Yeah. Have a good Shabbos.